Yeah, it's really great to be here with you guys again, and what an encouragement it is to be in this place. And we've prayed for this building for years and years and years and years, decades literally. It's been 28 years that this church has supported Lois and I in our ministry, and I remember our first trip up here. I think Bob might have been taking us down Andrews Avenue and introducing us to the neighborhood, and there was a car being stripped right out front. The hood was up, and there was a shopping cart beside it, and the guy was removing the carburetor with a hammer, as I remember banging away on that thing. And I thought, oh, that's a really interesting thing to see here. And I think the neighborhood has changed quite a bit since then, at least I hope it is, because I parked my car right out here, and I'm hoping that it's going to be there when I get back. Yeah, I remember being in Afghanistan. I'd come here, and I'd just think, man, how do you guys live in the Bronx? I mean, it's so tough here. And Jack would say, I don't know how you live in Afghanistan. It seems pretty tough to me. And we would have that argument back and forth. I remember several times I'd come and say, I don't know how you do it. And you'd say, yeah. I was just going to say, you win. yeah, you win. It's pretty cool here. We really have enjoyed this relationship and this fellowship because we're involved in something that is lasting. And I think the world really would love to have something that lasts. Everything seems to be really elusive to people now. Love, relationships, our bodies get old and ugly. Things happen in our lives, and we look for something that is lasting. And we've been singing about that this morning. What a tremendous heritage we have of being able to be involved in ministry together. And so it's kind of fitting that I'm reading today and sharing from Philippians 1. I can't think of this church without thinking about these verses, starting at verse 3. You probably know what this verse says. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. What a tremendous prayer. And it reaches into the depths of our relationships that we have in Christ. And the one word that I wanted to pull out of this for us to reflect on today comes in verse 7. The second part there says, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. When we were struggling in Afghanistan with stuff, you struggled with us. When you were struggling here in the Bronx, with all the kind of court cases and all this kind of Supreme, go look, they're on the Supreme Court docket. We're struggling with you. We're praying with you. That is the fellowship that we have in the gospel. That's what it means, that in these struggles and in that place, there's this amazing word, grace. That grace is so critical for our relationship that it's founded on that. It's not because Jack's a cool guy. He is a cool guy. It's not like that because Jim is who he is because of his personality. No, there is something that brings us together in that bond. And it's not always peaches and cream. Sometimes it's a rough road that you have to plow together. It doesn't always work really well. I think of when Paul's writing these words, have you ever wondered, like, who he's thinking of? What faces might he have been seeing as he writes this? Maybe he's seeing those times that he would go down and preach the gospel by the riverside, where people were gathering, and that's where people gathered, by the river. It must have been cool, and there was a woman down there named Lydia who was probably cleaning some of the fabric that she was dyeing, and she heard the gospel and responded. And then she said, guys, let's not meet down here. I've got a big house. Come stay in my house. And the church gets started in Lydia's house. Maybe he's thinking of Lydia when he's seeing that. Maybe he's thinking about this teenage girl who was full of demons and was following him around the streets and calling out all of these things to him. And one day he just turns to her and casts those demons out and frees her. Now, that was a case in those times of a human trafficking. This girl was being used because she had these demonic spirits as a fortune teller. And the guys that owned her were pretty upset with Paul for ruining their income stream, right? And so they call in the authorities and they beat Paul and they throw Paul and Silas into jail. And there they are. You guys know the story. Earthquake and rattles, and all of their chains fall off. And that jailer comes in and he's ready to kill himself. Why is he ready to kill himself? Because he knew his life was over already. Paul calls out and says, don't do it. We're all here. Nobody's escaped. You don't have to kill yourself. In fact, you can be saved. And he meant that in a number of ways, didn't he? He meant that in a number of ways. You can be saved from the Roman soldiers who will kill you for having let the prisoners free. You're going to be saved at a whole other level of your life. And that night, in the middle of the night, in Philippi, the gospel went into that household, and that jailer and his family started to follow Christ and were baptized. Before the sun rose up, they were baptized. Isn't that cool? Maybe that was the face that he was thinking about. And he suffered. He suffered the beating. He didn't always, you know, he could use that card. We sometimes are blamed for this. Americans, don't you know I'm an American citizen? You know, when we're overseas and things go turn sour for us. He could have played that card of Roman citizen, but he didn't at the beginning. He didn't at the beginning. He allowed himself to be beaten. And that was a grace. You see that? He received a grace to be beaten and imprisoned because God had a plan for that jailer. And if he had pulled out that card and said, hey, you can't beat me. I'm a Roman citizen. He did that down in Jerusalem a little bit later. Hey, he did that in Jerusalem. But he's not going to do it now. And that grace led to that man's salvation. Do you see how we go through suffering sometimes and are given a grace in that suffering? And then sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. God uses that grace in someone's life. I remember I was, Jack was talking about this time when the Taliban came into Mazar Sharif, and you know, in this recent event, you know, everybody's talking, but the army that we trained for all those years, they just threw down their guns and ran away. Well, that's not the first time, okay? When we were in Mazar-e Sharif, there was the Taliban were coming. Everybody knew the Taliban were coming. And so they were coming from the east. And we had our project for the blind kids. We had all these blind kids in our project. And we said, oh, well, we need to get these kids home. So I put them into my truck. I had a Hilux truck, and I put them all in there. And then we had a couple other vehicles, and we just went off into different directions. And I took these kids up to this place in the northern part of the city and dropped the last one of them off. And as I'm getting ready to go home, it was like right out of one of these movies. We didn't really worry about movies back in those days because we lived them. It was just happening right around us. You know how you see in the movies, you know, like the cowboy movie where the guy pulls out the guns and he's shooting and saying, dance, like that, you know. And there's all that dust going up around. And that's what was happening. Because these guys came out, they grabbed my keys off me, jumped into my truck to steal it, and suddenly all of those bullets started fire right around us. And I was like, I don't know if he even had time to freak out. It was like pre-freak. I was just sitting there, what's going on here? And so those guys that were trying to steal my truck, they needed transport. The Taliban are coming. We're getting out of here too. Everybody's getting out of Dodge. And they ran away, and I looked, and there was one of those Mujahideen posts, these holy warrior posts, and these guys saying, go on, get your truck, get out of here. A grace from some of these Muslim fighters to Jim and his truck. You get that? Do you know that God can use anybody as a vehicle of his grace? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can have somebody spray you with bullets? And that is his grace? You guys, you'll hold on that maybe. But I mean, seriously, that was God's grace. And I got that truck. And I started to head back home. And nobody's around. The whole city of Mazar-e Sharif's locked up. And here's Jim driving his white truck around. And I come around the corner, and there's, you know, we have this bread called naan. You know, guys know that flatbread, naan? And just give you a little language lesson here. It's not naan bread. The word naan means bread. When you say naan bread, you're saying bread. It sounds a little like saying chai tea. Okay, it's chai, it's tea. So it's just chai, it's just naan. Those are things that bug me. And if you can just remember that. So I went to get the naan. I saw this guy had a stack of naan. I was going to buy the last of naan. I thought, we're going to be in lockdown for a little while. That's why we don't have a worry about lockdown. We know lockdowns. And as I go over to get this bread, here are all these guys without any limbs. Because they were out there on that street corner begging, right? And they looked up at me and said, can you help us? Truck wasn't for Jim. So I'm picking up these guys without any legs and I'm putting them in the back of my truck. Where do you want to go? They said, we want to go to the Red Cross. Oh, great. That's down in the east part of town where the Taliban are coming. Sure, why not? So here's Jim with about six or eight legless guys in the back of his truck heading to the Red Cross. And there are these two Taliban with a bullhorn saying, we're coming, we're here. Talk about a bluff. Two guys and a bullhorn. We're here, we're coming, stay in your houses. And they were waiting for the guys to, you know, there was a group a couple hours away. But they had stirred up enough of a myth about their takeover. See, guys? So I'm unloading these guys, putting them away. That's the last time I drove my truck. See, we receive grace to also give grace. We receive a grace so that we can also be vehicles of God's grace. And I think that's what Paul was getting to in this, that we receive a grace in that situation. And he had a very important message that he was trying to send back to this community. If we look in chapter 4 of Philippians, verse 2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Well, a lot of us like to name our kids, you know, Bible names. I've never heard anybody named Euodia and Syntyche. I've never heard that one. Now, I might pick up. I'm not sure, you know. If somebody today might say, oh, I like Utica, maybe for a girl's name. But you never heard that. Why? Because these are two women who were yelling at each other all the time, every time they came to church. They could not agree in the Lord. Isn't it amazing that we're talking about them 2,000 years later? But we're talking about them because that's what life is really like. We're not living in some sort of zoo here or some sort of Disney movie, guys. This is real life that we're living here. And we have disagreements. And Paul's not saying those people are not real Christians. He's thinking about them, that we participated together in the gospel. We are co-workers. They worked side by side with me. They have some disagreements. They have some issues. Entreat them. Love them. Bring them together. You see, that conflict became a window into the grace. And that's what people who work in conflict resolution will tell you. Every conflict is a window, an opportunity for a grace to be worked in people's lives, to deal with issues that are deeper and darker back inside. And a lot of us like to walk away from those things, eh? I do. I like to avoid, you know? But really, in those places, we can find a grace for God, if he's given us that grace, to help people. I had the privilege some years that we were living in Pakistan. I was we had left Afghanistan after that whole thing with the car. We went down to Pakistan where it's safe, and we were working with Murray Christian School there. And I was down in the Islamabad, and a guy said to me, Jim, there's this Christian family that's just come out of Afghanistan. They've been discovered to be Christians, and they ran away. And a lot of this stuff got asked to me yesterday. Last night we were talking about some stories, and I'm saying, you know, people are thinking, oh, it's going to be worse for the Christians now that the Taliban. It's been worse for the Christians all along, okay? It's just not been. They can't be openly Christian or else they'll get killed. And it's not the government. It's not the police. It's family members that will persecute them because of the shame they've brought onto the family by leaving the Islamic faith. And so here was this young couple. They had three small children, and we went to visit them, and they'd had to leave all of their everything behind. And Fareed and his family, we went to visit, and we brought a New Testament to give them. And we came in, and we took this Bible and handed it to the family. It's in their language. And the wife takes it like that. Tremendous grace given to them in that difficult situation of having had to leave their homeland and had somebody come and minister that grace to them to give them the word. What will happen to the 250,000 Afghans who have left their country in the last month? Who will deliver that grace to them? Are God's people able to do that? Now, they may not want a Bible. They may just need a loaf of bread first. But who will deliver that grace to them? And that's what I'd like us to be praying for the grace to go to those dear people. A couple years later, I was actually teaching a class on storytelling at a Bible college in Islamabad. And who should be there but Farid? He was one of the students. And I was so excited to see that this brother, this Afghan brother, was getting Bible training now. And I was really encouraged by that. And he invited me around to the family. And we went and we sang Christian Afghan songs together. And I was just, it was a grace to me, see? Because the grace goes back and forth, brothers and sisters. It goes back and forth. So here was this lovely family that were bringing the grace back to me of the grace that we'd shown them when they'd escaped Afghanistan. Well, we've been in New Zealand now for 6 years, 6.5 years, and we've been training missionaries to go out. We're coming to kind of a season change for us, but we wanted, before we finished this season, we wanted to train people to work in cross-cultural ministry like we had. And we're very interested in ministry to Muslims, and there was a conference going on over in Australia of people that were working with Muslims in Australia. And so a friend of mine, we went together over to Melbourne, and we went to this Bible college where they were having the conference, and who should be there? Fareed. Fareed's there. He's an OM missionary in Brisbane. And he's pastoring a church of Afghans and Iranians. And I said, what's your biggest challenge of pastoring this church? He said, man, they argue all the time. And maybe they had a lot of Udias and Syntyches there, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, he needed grace. And we reconnected there. And I get this guy's newsletter every month of this Afghan believer. And we've had this possibility of hearing these graces go back and forth. 2 weeks ago, Lois and I were in a pizza restaurant. I went down to check into this pizza restaurant. And I got my mask on. This down in Virginia, had a mask on. And I walk into the restaurant. And no sooner did I walk through the door, I heard somebody call out, Mr. Couch! And I looked over and I could recognize the person behind the mask, one of my students from Murray Christian School, who was with me when the attack happened. And we were being shot at by terrorists. What is it about me and, you know, dodging bullets? I just seem to be dodging bullets. And this guy wanted me to meet his wife. He's 30 years old now. And we sat and talked for a little while. And then we talked about that grace. You see, we were literally seconds from being mowed down by terrorists. Seconds. But Jim, who had to spend all these years in Afghanistan, knew it wasn't fireworks, knew that it was gunshots, and knew what we had to do. We had to get to cover. And that moment when we reconnected with this student was a moment of grace. I didn't need that. See, I don't need that. But it was a moment of grace in this person's life to remind us of God's abiding love and care for us, and to remind me and to remind you that God works all things together. And we don't know when we're going to meet somebody like that again. Here it was, you know, pizza restaurant with masks on. You shouldn't have been able to recognize each other, but we were. We have been abundantly blessed by the grace that God's given us in ministry. And we're pretty sure that we're fairly normal people, I think, and average. We're not, no one's ever thought of me as being above average. But God gave us a love and a heart to do what we've done in this ministry, and it's not over yet. We've got more stuff to do in life. But I'm convinced that grace has brought me safe thus far. I'm reading a book of Puritan prayers now, and I wanted to finish off with one of these prayers, just a section of it. It just reminds me of our lives. Our lives are not, sometimes they get more dramatic than others. Most of our days, I got you to know, for the 12 years that we were in Afghanistan, we only had about a month of bad days. Okay, so on average, every day was a pretty good day. Okay, we had a few bad days. But in all of our days, and we did see God's grace there in little things and sometimes in big things. But this lovely prayer, let me just give it a bit of it to you, and we'll just think about some of these as I finish. Let us, as Christians, fill our various situations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness, and may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. I told you it was the last time I drove my truck. Some guys tried to come and get it, and I got a call from the office. Jim, there's some guys with guns outside your house. My family was in, another family was harboring in our house there in Mazar-e Sharif. You need to come sort this out. And of course, we weren't driving cars in because they just get stolen. So I walked over from the office. It took about 15 minutes. And when I got to the house, there were these guys out front and my neighbor standing around. And they're saying to me, Jim, give them the truck. See, they don't want Jim to die. And I'm not so keen on that either. And I didn't know what to do. These guys knew I had a truck. They wanted my truck. The street was just a dusty road. It didn't have any paved surface, and I just sank to my knees in the dust right beside these guys. And I started praying. And as I prayed, these guys with the guns were poking me and shoving me. Give us the truck. Give us the keys. Like that. And so I grabbed the guy's hand. I started to pray into his life. What is it, God, that has brought him into this place? Why is he needing to attack a guest in his country for a truck? What is it? What's going on? Would you bless this man? Would you bless his family? What's he doing? They all said. He's praying. What? He's praying. After about 3 or 4 minutes, I looked up and the guys with the guns were gone. My neighbors were standing around with their eyes wide open. And I stood up and I was shaking the dust off my knees. And I said to them, prayer is very beneficial. And they said, yes, Jim, prayer is very beneficial. See, God had a grace for those guys with guns. You get that? God has a grace for people. So we need, may God give us that grace to see that in every place and in everyone that we come in contact with our lives, may their lives be benefited by our presence. Because it's not ourselves, but it's the hope of glory. Christ in us. That's what we're giving out. Christ in us. May you receive that blessing now. May you know Christ in you, and may you bring it to those around you in your life in ways that you can't see and know. Fear not, our friends. God is with you, and he will continue to be with you. Amen.